Welcome to the Matrescent Medicine Stories. I'm Gemma Michelle of Wild Birth. This is a space to sit at the feet of mothers and their physiological postpartum stories as our ancestors always have. A space to sip from the wisdom of their journey through matrescence. These conversations are in deep devotion to reorienting the cultural narrative of postpartum back to its primal blueprint. Together, we return to the innate wisdom, reverence, nourishment, and alchemy available to us through the lens of physiological, primal, and ceremonial motherhood. In this episode, I'm joined by Kayla Dawn Morin. Kayla is a mother of one and birth keeper, holding space for women to heal their wounds so that we can live our true baseline, peace and pleasure embodied. She runs an online community with monthly women's circles called Woman of Earth, a call for us to remember our true elemental nature and the incredible power of healing and connection within ourselves. Kayla also holds space for wild pregnancy, free birth preparation, birth story processing, and offers closing of the bones ceremonies. She says, "My work is metabolizing mother on all levels." You can find her on Instagram at Women of Earth, or the links in the episode description. In this conversation, Kayla speaks to her transformation from the maiden tending to postpartum to the embodiment of mother and how that shifted her understanding of this work. She touches on sacred discernment in what we want to ingest and metabolize in this immediate threshold. She speaks to postpartum as a holy invitation to deeper healing at a cellular level and for anchoring our intentions. And she touches on the wisdom available to us as we tune into the true needs of the unique mother-baby nervous system beyond our ideals. Welcome, Kayla.
Hi, Gemma. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to deepen into your story. And I'd love to start by just asking you when your journey into matrescence began.
Yes. So actually, when I received the call to go into birth work, it was a night where I read Spiritual Midwifery and watched The Business of Being Born and wept at, like, I don't know, the beauty and realization of natural birth, and had this message come through of, like, the first baby you catch will be your own.
I
carried that with me. And then, you know, it was always present and I was always wondering, and started attending births and serving women postpartum. And then, you know, it came to be when I got pregnant. It was like, I'm finally the pregnant woman now. It's my turn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I did end up catching our son in our condo bathtub here in Toronto.
Yeah.
After a couple days of labor. Yeah.
Mm.
So there was that moment. And what I really remember is, like, looking down, he was grunting right away. And the cord was wrapped around his left leg 2 times and, like, slow motion, unwrapping it. And checking to see, and it's a boy. Mm-hmm. And just that, like, finally meeting him, and that moment of pure joy and bliss of just, I am a mother now. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. It's that moment. That's a moment that, like, just is the deepest gift to me in witnessing births. It's just, like, the moment that spark lands. It's so, so potent.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Take us to, like, the essence of your birth. Of course, you don't have to go into the whole story, but specifically, like, what were the lessons from your birth that you felt like you were bringing into your postpartum?
Yeah, I would say no rush. Was a big one. And that was one of, I think that women kind of pre-orchestrate their experience to some extent, maybe not consciously. But for me, It was really important. I wasn't into this like having a really overwhelming, super fast, intense labor experience. I'd seen that. I'd seen women like the fear in the eyes, you know? And I was hoping for not that. So then, of course, I had a really extended labor experience. And yeah, it was no rush. And then it was the shift also from kind of like, and this is really the crux and core is the shift out of victim consciousness. And I put this together afterward. But you know, the tension comes, the contraction comes, and there was pain and kind of cringing to the pain and being like, F, you know, and then like, oh no, kind of thing. And noticing myself doing that and then making a conscious choice to shift into like, yes, and welcoming sensation as it arises. Allowing it to fully flow through my body and then letting it go and like returning to rest and continuing to be open for whatever is to come, right? The next rush. And so I've learned that that is actually the rhythm of all life, right? Like expansion, contraction, and the in-betweens, and our attitude toward that really determines our experience to such a large extent.
Oh, I love that vision so much. And it really just is the essence of life as you boil it down, and definitely of like postpartum and the bigness of that immediate postpartum.
Yes, absolutely.
So since you were a birth worker prior to having your first, I'm curious about how you prepared for postpartum, what informed your vision before you became a mother in maidenhood.
Yeah, I would say in maidenhood, I really had this vision of like birth kind of being this big party and so many people being involved. And then I was surprised when I actually became pregnant. It was very intimate and close, and very few people that I actually felt, I don't know, like that deep sense of trust or connection to have them be there for that, right? So in the first 6 weeks, I planned for always having a second pair of hands around. So at the beginning, that was my spouse, and then I had like a few postpartum doulas, some were kind of friends who were also in the work coming by, and everyone was bringing different pieces. I had my meal train set up, which was amazing, and a big, you know, fridge freezer full of food as well. And my partner's a chef too, so
Oh, beautiful.
yeah, there was so much around the food that I knew needed to be emphasized.
Nourished motherhood.
And then but also that presence and that company. Although we didn't have anyone with us at the birth, I did have a very dear friend in town, and she ended up being there kind of during my labor a little bit, and then tending to me in the first couple weeks, like really
Beautiful.
deeply, that like deep bond sisterhood. And I also had my mentor virtually supporting me. So I called her a couple times during my birth at little turning point moments. And then postpartum, we connected like every day for the first week, and then it kind of spaced out over time. And I found that deeply supportive to just be touching in with, you know, a mother who has two kids of her own and 30 years of tending to mothers in that vulnerable, sensitive time under her belt, who just like was able to answer all of my hypersensitive new mom queries and bring that wise woman energy.
into my body again, you know, like bring me back to that within myself.
Yeah, and don't we all need that? I love how, like, even before your baby landed, you felt into that space of wanting to craft your postpartum from community. And I think a lot of women don't even know, well, that that's an option, because I mean, a lot of the time it isn't. But how is that experience for you? Like calling in community in a culture that doesn't nurture that. And like the energetics of receptivity is what comes to me. And that I know that that's so hard for so many women in that like tender pregnancy and postpartum time. How did that land for you?
Yes, it is an anti-mothering era. What comes up there is that because I've been in the work for so many years, I knew I'd seen, I'd witnessed this teaching about the receiving, and I'd begun that unraveling process within myself to kind of be able to like surrender and open and receive from others. And so for me in that, how it showed up as a bit more of an edge was actually receiving from myself more. So for instance, in the postpartum, I was really like felt righteous in my kind of demands from my loved ones. You know, I felt very comfortable, you know, do this, do that, I need this, I need that. But then it was actually a really beautiful and humbling resourcing process that I went to through like sourcing my kind of power of regulation and like truly sourcing the love that I needed. And it's, you know, the I that comes up, the hurt parts of ourselves. It's the child within, the baby within, the younger woman within. So I, through becoming a mother, I somehow in that matrescence accessed that ability much deeper. Kind of like going through the portal really helped me gain access to healing pieces that I had just felt really stuck with throughout maidenhood. And he, yeah, really attained new levels of regulation and healing, right? Like coming into wholeness of my being on a different way through motherhood. And part of that was also just, you know, the practice of being with a newborn all day, right? And that taking like all of my energy to be in presence and not be in like a dissociative state, which I was doing a lot more often beforehand as a coping mechanism, right? So an example is like for the first 4 months of my postpartum, I didn't watch any screen time. Like no TV. I was on my phone a fair amount, you know, let's be honest. And I had my little like shopping foray. But the actual programming, I was really conscious about what I was taking in that time. So now I've lost the thread of what the question actually was. Can you bring me back?
It's perfect. Yeah, we're just following the thread of like the energetics of receptivity. And I love how you brought it to that, because just that reframe of everything you consume, everything in your space as nourishment, like that media infiltration is not the nourishment that you wanted to be receiving in your space. Like, I love just broadening our scope to look at like nourished postpartum, not as food or even as you're tended to, but like literally everything, down to the energetics. I love that you like devoted so much to tapping into that and to staying present with it. Because yeah, truly, to stay present with a newborn, like they do demand that of you. And it's such a healing time, as you said, for those dissociative patterns, because newborns are the frequency of receptivity. That's all they are. And to allow yourself to be present with that is so, it's such a healing time.
Yeah, it was, I called it meditation boot camp.
Yeah.
Because it was like nothing else in the world could have made me meditate that much. But being with my baby and being in tune with my baby required me to be in a slower brainwave state, right? Like that altered state of consciousness. And that's that state was where like my own neurology and you know, the spiritual, it's all connected, all the levels, right? So then things were just rearranging like full time all day within me as well. I feel like becoming a mother, you know, at some point somebody asked me like, what's next for you, right? And they were kind of thinking, you know, professionally, like, what is the next training I'm going to do? And how am I going to, you know, build my business or something? And I just had this sense inside of like, I'm going to have a baby. There's a baby coming through, and that's my next move. And becoming a mother has actually fulfilled like every single long-standing intention and long-term devotional, you know, healing thing that I'd been holding in maidenhood, from the relationship with, you know, dissociation and television to this like ability to love myself, all of the iterations of myself, and really, like having that as a spring within me at all times. And then learning how to feed myself, I would say, are the main zones. And on the programming, because I was very conscious about what I was taking in. And so it doesn't mean that I like sat in silence and just listened to the ethers and my baby, but I chose what to bring in. So I was listening to particular books and podcasts and voices, and I had a really enlightening experience actually bouncing on the ball, playing Alan Watts, over the speakers, and that's what I would listen to, and he would fall asleep to that in the early days. And you know, he's all about being in the now, and so somehow these talks that I'd listened to so many times throughout university, it was like it actually landed into my being, and I woke up to the present moment in a new way. And so yeah, there's also just something about having had such a self-directed birth experience, feeling self-directed in the sense of being guided from beyond, right? Like following that guidance. That was my direction. And it opened up so much for me to heal in my body. It's hard to find the words, weirdly. But presence and like access to who I am on a greater level.
Yeah. I love the way you speak to that, because yeah, it is this like incredible invitation in the early postpartum, because we have access to those altered states, and like our brain is the most malleable it will ever be. So like we have this opportunity to shift and make all these new brain connections as our newborn is. And I love the integration piece for you, and that you allowed that medicine to permeate you so deeply that like you really carried it through. I see some women having a hard time integrating that after the 40 days, because it's almost like that immediate postpartum You have the permission to stay present with it. You have the time and the support to stay present with it. And then suddenly that's over, and hubby's back to work, and you have to do all the dishes. And it's easy to slip back into old patterns. But I just love feeling how deeply that permeated you and how you continued to bring that forward now, at like a year and a half postpartum.
Now we're almost 16 months, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and I can feel how that slowness and presence and like that huge opportunity for healing has stayed with you. And just how you spoke to these are like information and healing that you accessed before, but it just didn't integrate in the same way. Like it was your arrival into motherhood that allowed it to anchor into you. I know that that was my experience
Yeah.
postpartum.
Yeah, there's something right about, we talk about the transition from maiden to mother. Ah. But the actual experience of it, right, is like the maiden self is still there, but suddenly, and more with the passing of time, she's in the past. So she becomes, like all the rest of the past, a memory that we can still feel and embody how we felt in another moment, but we're still feeling it from now, right? So then now the mother self gets to like tend to the maiden with all of her new her new body, her new powers, her new capacity that continues to grow and develop as she mothers. It was like the mothering act was carving me out in this new way. And yeah, so fascinating how, I'd heard about somatic experiencing, for instance, but it, and the body keeps the score, and these really important modalities and resources, but I had never fully read that book, or I had never fully done like a meditation around certain like wounds that I knew I was still carrying charge around. And then in the months after mothering, I did that. It was like, now's the time. And everything just started to click into place. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've just been like, oh yeah, I've been wanting this to happen for years and years and years, and now it's happening. Like, thank you, baby.
Oh, that was my experience, especially with my second, like so deeply. I've talked about it before on the podcast because it was such a defining moment for me of being in that super early postpartum in bed, like undisturbed, and just feeling like, wow, I have access to all of the information in the world. And truly feeling that in that in-between realm of like, wow, literally, this has given me access to everything I need to know. And I don't feel like that anymore because I'm not in that realm anymore. But like the gifts
Yeah.
that I was given in that in-between space is like, it's truly impossible to put into words.
Yeah. And I think, yes, having gathered the community and knowing also like the technology of being intentional, right? I don't know. Again, I think people often hear things and it's like it's in the realm of the mind, it's an idea, it sounds like it makes sense. But when you actually get that any time you set an intention, and especially if you anchor that with like speaking it aloud or any kind of elemental support, like with the four elements or whatever, plants, it will come through. Like it is going to come through. And my trust in that has just deepened so much. through this matrescence experience, right? Like the confidence that I have about if I make a decision that I am called into something and I make the decision to move towards that thing, like I know that that is possible. I can move in any direction. So it just becomes more about, again, the receiving, right, of the clarity and the knowing of where you are called to be. And yeah, directing that power in that channel.
Yeah, like especially in those times when we have like such a invitation to be sitting at the altar, like postpartum, that like reminds me especially of just like the power of the hormonal matrix. To me, like hormones are where physiology and spirit meet, and like these spaces when we're in this potent hormonal portal, like pregnancy, like birth, like postpartum, like when we bleed, the ability to anchor like those intentions at the altar are so profound.
Yes. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. So take us to like what were the touchstones of your more immediate postpartum? What did your like the rhythms and rituals that held you and anchored you?
Laying in bed is really good. So much comes up. So there was the naming kind of process, which we hadn't talked about names at all beforehand, like as in no actual names. We just said we'll meet our baby and then we'll see who, you know, who they are. And so it was around day three, we'd been kind of like, you know, feeling into his energy and talking about what kind of sounds and wanting to include both of us in his name equally, you know, and have that balance. And then when we finally landed on it, like I remember that moment where my partner came in and he was like this, and then he said it and it was like zing, like this lit up just happened. And I'm like, oh my God, that's his name. And so there was that moment of naming him together, which was really special. And then, you know, I was really feeling good about being in bed and not walking around much and having lots of tea and food brought to me and just very like joyous, blissful, celebratory, and resting a lot. And then around day five, so what had happened? I had my placenta in the fridge for a while, and then it was like, wait a minute, how long has it been in the fridge? Is it still safe to consume? Because I was curious about doing that. And so we did, myself and my close friend Brittany, we did a placenta ceremony where I spoke to it and spoke, like gave thanks, and we did some prints, like just with the fresh blood still. And I did cut it, and I ended up eating some of it just like that. And then I put it in the freezer, but the eating of it was an amazing experience, and it kind of showed me that I did not, that was not for me. It kind of taught me that my placenta had actually, well, no, it's my baby's placenta, right? Norrison's placenta had actually filtered out a lot of things that I'd been taking in. And I didn't need to take those back in regularly. Like taking a piece of it in once kind of reminded me of that somehow. It was like that was the message. And so then Yeah, it was in the freezer just like that. But after another couple of days, I had the strength and I really felt called to more ceremony with placenta. And so I brought it out of the freezer, lit a candle, baby was sleeping. It was the sunrise coming in through the windows of our place, which is all windows. And I had a really quiet, private moment with placenta, and it thawed. And I wrapped it in plants and herbs and a special cloth that represents my mother line with moths on it and stuff. And that was really, really powerful. I felt, there was no burial, obviously, but I felt that I did return it to the earth in some way through that. And I felt a lot more grounded after having done that. And then I put it back in the freezer. And so it's still in the freezer in that state now. But so it goes in the city when you are not land-based. So those memories come to mind. And then massage. I love being massaged, and I offer a lot of massage in my work. And so that was huge. I had three women in my life massaging me at that time, who all, carry their own different particular medicine, but like castor oil massage, hot sesame oil massage, jaw massage, just like every massage was a really powerful support of release and like letting go of more layers to just be able to continue to be present.
Oh, I love that you speak to that because I don't think it was until like the postpartum of my second when I realized how much touch is an essential nutrient of postpartum. And that wasn't really something I prepared for. I feel like I prepared for everything else, but really in almost all traditional cultures, like there is some element of daily massage practice as like an essential core piece of postpartum recovery, obviously on like a nourishment and energetic level, but also on a physiological level, like helping the lymph and the hormones move and cross that threshold. So I did a lot of self-massage, which is beautiful. I remember really craving that in like carving out space for other women to come massage me. So I love that that was such a touchstone for you.
Yeah, it's really powerful. And to this day, I think that's been one of the most supportive things to have continuously is like in-home massage from a woman that I know really well. Coming by, doing that, and just feeling so at ease to have my experience with it, have it not be overly professionalized or what's that, sterile or like on the table even, but just wherever I am. I was getting massaged, literally bouncing my baby on
Yes.
the
Yeah, exactly. Like being able to not have to leave your baby with dad and go to a place and lay on the table. Just having a wise woman come meet you where you're at and tend to you as you are attending to motherhood and not in the in-between space of your baby needing you is just such a powerful vision.
Yes, because I'm sure you're aware. So many women think of self-care as like something that we go and buy and we like leave our home and we be alone with a practitioner, and community care really takes a different form where we don't be alone and we be with ourselves. And like you said, we're continuously supported to continue to, be in mothering. And that's where you're going to have the most regulated, relaxed state is when your baby is sleeping and on you. And then you can actually release into receiving potentially more, especially in those early days when that's truly the design, not to have any separation. Yeah, because I just found it so stressful when I wasn't with my baby at the beginning.
Truly, I still do at 9 months postpartum. And I love that you speak to that because culturally it is taught that like mothers only get their cups filled by leaving their children, right? And then like we know that doesn't feel correct in our bodies and there's so much nourishment available from nourishing our babies. But it's just so proven in postpartum because it's a time when you need the most nourishment and it's a time where you literally cannot be separated from your baby if you know you're tending to their needs in a physiological way. If you're tending to your needs in a physiological way, it is not possible to go elsewhere to be nourished. My friend Eden spoke to that of when she was first pregnant and she had this thought of like the only time I'm going to get rest or nourishment is in like an hour yoga class once a week because that was what was modeled to her. And I think we all have pieces of that. So like what a brilliant invitation to shift that like culturally, but just in ourselves of like being receptive to that nourishment and tending with your baby on your chest.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the piece where I see a lot of people struggling with vulnerability and this idea that, you know, we want to be seen, but we're also afraid to be seen and, you know, that tension. And I really do feel that the healing comes from allowing ourselves to be seen in that fear. With people that we actually build relationship with. Because maybe initially it feels more comfortable to go and do that with someone who's not in your daily life. But eventually, in order to build real relationship in the way of, you know, reimagining a village way of life, if we can in this super fragmented modern, you know, city living, it means showing those parts of ourself and sharing those moments in a really mundane way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the prayer with this space for sure. I would love to hear how like the reality of postpartum landed. Like compared to how you were planning and visioning it and like maybe how that's shifted like your definition of nourished or physiological postpartum.
Yeah, it's so funny because I definitely had some lofty maiden ideas about, you know, I will have my baby and then at like, you know, 3-4 months postpartum, I'll be hosting women's picnics all summer and we'll just get together. All the moms will get together in the park and eat and loll around with our beautiful babies and like beautiful dresses and drink tea, you know? and then it's like, oh my God, like going to the park takes so much energy and none of the moms I know are available and it's impossible to make a plan because we never know like how the schedule is changing or everybody's on different nap schedules and it's always changing and variable and then the weather and you know it's just like and how are we going to carry everything down there and like it was a stark wake-up call to, and, you know, that's particularly because of my commitment to physiological mothering. So especially with sleep, most kids out there are just totally exhausted. And that's really different managing or caring for a really tired child throughout the days, than one where you're really like on top of their wake windows and they're not overtired, and it's just a different sleep flow, right? So I found that to be really enlightening, learning about the sleep and what it took for me to put his sleep before pretty much everything else for a long, like I did that for a while, and then it got to a stage where I had a little more give, and then it gets a little more open and playful as for me anyway, as he got older. But at the beginning, I would say for the first, I don't know, year, it was really important to me to support his sleep, because I've just learned how much that supports brain development, and not only brain development, but the entire neurology, right? So the nervous system. And that was one of my most important intentions with my mothering in the first year, was like, let's set up a really, really strong foundation for connection and emotional maturity and stability for this human, because so many of us, we're coming out of generations of rupture around that, in terms of how our grandparents were parented and parented our parents, and all the propaganda that came in, or just the old ways of thinking that have now been updated with new science, even if you're on that track, or we going back and seeing that the new science actually just backs up what people have been doing for millennia, right? So baby wearing and not keeping my baby awake for hours and hours. Although, interestingly, here's something. I don't know that that's what people were doing for millennia, right? I did have a kind of, you could say, modern woman complex about my baby's sleep. And so I did find that loosening up around that a little bit was more nourishing for both of us over time, because initially it's really easy. They just sleep and they're not sensitive to their surroundings. Then, around 4 months, he became extremely auditorily aware. And I kind of just ended up going into the bedroom, playing the wave sounds, which was beautiful. The ocean lulled us all the time. But I spent a lot of time bouncing to the ocean sounds with my baby, right? And I was going a little mad. I was going crazy with that isolation. And so, yeah, there's a lot there in terms of learning about what is nourishing, needing to balance all the different needs. I was going to say physiological needs with emotional needs, but they're actually both physiological needs, right? Like,
Absolutely.
we need, like you said, touch, and we need to talk about our feelings and be witnessed. We need that. And so, yeah, it's quite a navigation. But I found as his wake windows opened up and he was able to be more social, that allowed me to be more social in those times and still honor his sleep. And then I found ways to tend to myself during his sleep also. That's when I started watching movies again. So it was like the return of the dissociative state, but it served a purpose.
And I love how, like, when he was ready to become more social, like, of course, that also means it's when you are ready, even though I'm sure you were craving it before that. But it's just that slow attunement to like the specific mother baby dyad nervous system needs that like each individual has. And I find that it's so different with every mother and every baby. Like there are the babies that sleep so soundly on the back wherever you go, no matter what. And then there aren't. And yeah, finding that rhythm and that attunement in a way that feels nourishing for both of you is truly such a dance. And then as soon as you have the steps correct, it shifts.
Indeed. There's so much that I'm curious about there in terms of our elemental, cosmic alignments. Like I'm a water sign and he's a fire sign. And I've heard from other fire sign parents that their children needed to a lot of like activity to be calmed, needed to be rocked, needed movement. And I found that with him. But then I also am really curious about how our own expectation, whether we're conscious of it or not, is what our baby is fulfilling, right? So it's not just what we do and how we behave that they're taking in. They're actually hearing our expectations of them, not through language, not through eyes, but just in that connection that they have with us in our presence. They can feel what we expect of them and they constantly try to fulfill that.
Yeah, that's so interesting to me. And yeah, just that dance of like honoring constitution over our ideals. Especially like our ideals for maidenhood is such a process. And it also makes me wonder like how much of it is just our baby's constitutional needs and how much of it might be like subconscious needs of mother as we are so attached. Like, were there pieces of you that just needed to stay at home and bounce and be in that like movement meditation? Like, that's a vision I'm getting. Like how much of you needed that influencing his
Well,
energy?
exactly, right? Exactly. Because tending to me is tending to him, because I am that that tends to him. So it certainly did serve me getting away from the kind of like entanglements of the social nervous system, let's say. Because I was going through a lot of the front, like bouscule. There's like a word where it's like tumultuousness, kind of like things were getting shaken up around that for me. This whole like, where, how do I fit in and belonging? I was resourcing that, so it was changing, and I think that prolonged time just with my inner world really did support me being able to emerge, like you were saying, kind of like fully reformed. Because yeah, so social interactions with new people was very different from social interactions with really trusted, regulated sources coming from, a supportive framework of being able to actually hold space. Like you want to watch who you're interacting with. But that this what you were just saying, it brings up this metaphor for me of, the full cup. And I think as a maiden, I lived in this way of knowing that if I fully depleted my cup, I could handle that in whatever ways that I was, and then I could like rebuild it, right? So if I really wanted to do something, but I knew it was going to be, draining of my energy, that only was at a cost to me, or so I thought, right? And then with a child, it's like you can never have an empty cup. That's not allowed. It doesn't work. It's not a possibility, right? Like, emotional chaos ensues if that happens. So, it's a very different baseline of like constantly needing to have a full, maybe, right? How full are you willing to live with your cup? You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
Are you willing to have overflow be your baseline? Maybe. So that's what was kind of, happening for me. I was realizing, there were certain things that I had done to myself as a maiden, specifically travel. And as a mother, I learned a lot about, you know, what was actually my motivation for going to those places and draining myself in that way. Like, and then getting to like do healing around those attachments.
And just going back to like, how does it actually feel? That was one of my patterns in maidenhood, and definitely a pattern I've played around with in motherhood, is going back to that place of doing the things and pushing myself because it aligns with my ideals or my values, but like forgetting to tap into like, how does this actually feel? I know why I'm doing this. I know I desire this, but how does it feel in my body? And therefore, how is it feeling in my baby's body? How's it not just our babies, but like our entire homes, you know, like our energies are so wrapped up in our partners and the older siblings and the energetics of our home. Like I found bringing myself to those places, no matter how rooted in value it was, there is a toll that shifts everything.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's it right there, right? How does it actually feel? And then getting to see all the story scaffolding that is not the truth of our body. And like alchemize that, metabolize that, dissolve that, and be in a more state of clarity from that embodied knowing.
And just that reminder that it really is so simple in those times of overwhelm of like, can we just check into how this feels on like a cellular level rather than all of the explanations that were coming up as our head is like a centrifuge on what we're choosing to do, where we're choosing to put our energy and our time, our like precious time as mothers, as new mothers. It really can be that simple of like, how does this feel?
Yes, exactly. Something else was coming up as you were sharing, and as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking about, you know, the stories and the mind and that level. I'm waving my head around my hand around my head. And there was an enormous dropping into the heart that happened for me through giving birth. And it's related to an enormous opening in my throat, which of course we know is anatomically connected with the root, like my yoni, as we're developing fetuses. And so I tore a little bit when I gave birth, but I also roared so much, and it's like I had a concordant tear in my throat. To where my voice was like really raspy right after I gave birth for a few days. But then on whatever day, in the first week, my voice was new. I had this, like, I like to sing. I was in a choir as a little girl. I've never done too much else with it. But I suddenly had a range that I'd never known. And ease, like, ease of just singing so beautifully, more than I ever had experienced in my life. This openness in my throat, right? And
Wow.
obviously in my root. And that was such an incredible gift. And I always think about, we think of the throat as like, okay, yes, it's expression, but it's also listening, right? Like it's also has that receptive side to it. And through that, I was able to drop into my heart. And yeah, that's been a really profound part of all of this too, the heart field, because like human beings have measured the electromagnetic resonance vibration of the different parts of the body. And a lot of them, it's like, oh yeah, it's like 7 feet out and then it stops or whatever. The heart has no measurable ending. It's one field. It's one heart field of everybody's hearts, like vibrating and sharing information, right? So that I feel I really tapped into on an embodied level, it also in the fresh postpartum.
Oh, that is such a beautiful, powerful story. And just the vision I was getting was how much that speaks to like the correctness of what happens in our body, like especially as we're meeting that intensity and these pieces that feel really scary, like your yoni tearing, like that tear in your voice being the thing that like broke it open and brought it back together in a way that was so much more cohesive as you enter mother, like, and just that like vulnerability and trust in those super tender moments of like, oh no, I don't want this to happen. And like, actually, could it be the thing that brings so much more mobility and vitality to your voice, to your yoni? It's all one and the same.
Indeed. Yes, and that piece, right, of I actually feel like I know that I could have either not torn or torn less if I had been more patient, maybe. But there was a moment where he was crowning and I was just like, that's enough. And I like pushed harder, and so anyways, but just feeling, that I made a decision there, and tearing is not something that just like suddenly happens. It's like a process in which we are engaged and have power in our presence in our bodies, right?
And like even if your birth worker brain was saying I should be slowing down and being more patient and breathing this baby out, but like what if that, that lightning strike of gnosis in you of like, no, it's time was just perfectly correct.
Could be. Yeah, I love that about birth is like, just there's always mystery around the corner whenever we talk about it.
I'm so curious to hear how like your journey through matrescence will shift how you show up for women as like a birth worker and as a tender of sacred postpartum.
I have experienced that actually. There was a moment around, let me figure out. He was around 8 months old, and a former client, I was her birth keeper, her brother and his partner were pregnant. And it turns out they live 2 steps away from my house, literally. A
Oh,
2 minute
wow.
walk. So it felt ordained. And there was openness for me a couple times a week with between my friend and my partner, the support I had, and where my baby was at. He was cool if I wasn't there. So I did end up tending to her postpartum for the first 6 weeks.
Wow.
And it was so awesome to experience that and get to feel how different it is as a mother, the like extreme urge to commiserate.
Yeah.
Right? That could be a meme. And then kind of returning to this practice of holding space for other and not bringing my own story and stuff into it too much, right? Because on some level, part of the beauty of that is that we get it and we can say, I get it, right? But what really came through was metabolizing mother, that this is my life's work on all levels. On a personal level, it's what I've been doing, right? And it's what I have to offer. So metabolizing mother, metabolizing is a process that happens in our bodies, but also on the macro level. It involves dissolution and kind of like decay and death and reformation, right? Like that's what birth is. It's actually just something that has been there taking a new form. And so that's like trauma healing. And then mother is obviously our own mothers and that relationship, the mother line, all of our mothers, right? Metabolizing with mother that was way back. Like we're guided by mothers we don't even know that are either in our bloodlines or connected to us in some other way that are like with us in our DNA or spiritually, who knows, right? And then there's Earth as mother and that relationship in my life and in our way of life in this world currently. So that really kind of zoop, it came together through my experience tending and witnessing and being with this woman. And it was so amazing, so beautiful. And I was able to hold so much just like really tender, but also really deep space for that. Like we could call it inner child work, but it's really like meditative. Self-truth or something, you know, it's like following the thread of the stories until you get to the actual wound that is causing all of that, right? Because any like searching for meaning or grasping for what does this mean and it's related to this, there is a core wound there, and there are very few core wounds actually, so it's pretty easy once you get down to it, to parse them out and know, you know, when they happened and what they're about, and begin to go back into those wounded moments from a new rooted, grounded mother capacity place and tend to that. That's liberation, right? Like we have that power to create freedom from the past through that practice.
And holding the space as mother for the mothers in that place is just so, it's so powerful. And like I've spoken here before on like the grief that is present in the reality that it's often the postpartum mothers caring for the postpartum mothers. And there is also such a like incredible gift there for us. That was also a big theme of this last postpartum, of just being so nourished by nourishing other mothers, like truly feeling no depletion from that space. And like what a gift that was for me to be so nourished by nourishing in this place. Like, yes, there is that big theme of grief. And where is the medicine in that for us and culturally?
Yes, definitely not better to grieve by oneself. Right? Like it's just another place where that isolation program tends to show up. And then we're like, oh my God, we can actually all like hold hands and rage together, you know?
Yeah.
We can actually honor this grief together around a fire. Like, we can, all the elemental practices, it's so important to be doing that together. And there is, I think what you're speaking to is this knowingness that can't be communicated other than through the knowing of it. You know what I
Truly.
mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so, yeah, there's that too. It's so crossing that threshold, the connection with other mothers is just so immediate, no matter what. And the grief piece, I think what you're speaking, that is a big part of it, is like knowing that, knowing how that feels in our bodies on a daily, to have all the like devotion and love and pullings toward our baby, and then seeing the world through these new eyes and realizing, like actually really feeling it, the reality of right now.
Yeah. It makes me feel into like, yes, in a traditional culture, the maidens would learn how to tend to the mothers and would be sitting at the feet of postpartum as they grew up, as you did, as you were attending as a birth worker before you had your own baby. But it really is that like gift of the knowing that we receive as we become mothers. Like the maidens tending to the mothers isn't the whole story, because there's this whole new like level and depth that is gifted to us past that threshold. And I'm just feeling into like the power of that, and like maybe there is so much correctness in today's culture of the postpartum mothers showing up to the postpartum mothers.
Yeah, there's a way in which maybe especially because of all the like fracture and separation between the different age groups and whatever, the maidens are, it's all together, but what came up when you were saying that, the maidens are being tended to by the mothers when they go tend to the mothers. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
The mothers are also like, thank you so much for turning off the oven and handing me that water and like listening to me talk, right? That's really
Absolutely.
Important stuff. And like the maidens are being tended to by a mother in that moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also speaking to the circular of the mothers tending to each other. It's amazing.
It really is.
But I do feel that part of the answer culturally is for maidens to have a lot more responsibility. I think that's what they're missing.
Yeah. Yeah, the responsibility, not just on the like individual landscape that we've landed to like in today's culture, but like responsibility to culture and to community and to mothers.
Yes.
And what an invitation to like hold the maidens in your life to that gift as you enter motherhood.
Yeah, I welcome that in my life. And that would be beautiful.
Well, as we're coming to a close, I would love to hear if there's any pieces of medicine that percolate for you that you'd want to relay to a mother listening to this who's pregnant, preparing for postpartum, or like sitting in that tender early space.
Yeah, I would say close your eyes. Take a deep breath in through your nose and out through the nose. Turning that attention inwards. And just notice what is present. Maybe noticing if there's a particular thought or image or memory noticing sensation in the body, what is maybe like warm or cold or vibrating or tense or feels really good. Because, yeah, it's so unique. Every woman knows what's next for her and what's present and front of heart and mind for her. So that's what I have to offer is like, you already know. You already know. And I see you. I love you. I'm here with you. You're never alone.
Thank you so much for that. And just thank you for offering your lived experience to this altar. I'm so grateful.
I'm so grateful to have this space to talk with you. It's beautiful. Thanks so much.
Thank you for being here with us. If these stories have been medicine for you, please help share them by following and sending them to the women in your life who they would serve. The maidens who are beginning to orient themselves to their matrescence, the pregnant mothers preparing for the birth portal, and the postpartum mothers who could be held in their alchemy by these stories. If you have a physiological postpartum story you'd like to share, you can find the link to submit a story in the description. I would be honored to sit with you. You can also find a link in the description to connect with me or book one-to-one mentoring sessions for wild birth and sacred postpartum preparation, birth story integration, ceremonial loss support, or traditional birth work mentorship.